All right, guys, thank you for that. We've got our next live guest ready to go. We've got Paul Brashear joining us from ITS Logistics, talking a little bit about some changes that are going on the Gulf Coast and Atlantic ports now that we're seeing reduced traffic thanks to restrictions of the Panama Canal. Paul, thank you for joining us this morning. And of course, Panama Canal issues is top story for a lot of folks right now as we're continuing to see reduced traffic. How are the Gulf Coast and Atlantic Coast ports faring so far?
Things have kind of stayed the course. The way contracts are working, you're locking into a contract either January or March, April of a year, and those go for a year. So a lot of folks to stay away from the West Coast as they went through labor negotiations booked annual contracts to the East Coast. Now, as we get into January and March of 24, you're going to start seeing more shippers migrate back to the West Coast. And that's primarily because the Trans-Pacific route's quicker. It's going to be a lot more cost effective. You've got some geopolitical issues with the Red Sea right now. You've got the Panama Canal that's restricting some flow. So there'll be some natural migration back to the West Coast for Trans-Pacific freight. And that will kind of migrate off of the Southeast and the Gulf Coast. There are lines of business, though, that are going to stay there because infrastructure was put in place. There's new industries that are going in. I'm down here in Galveston, Texas, and I can see the ships lining up off the coast, and they're steadily coming in regularly. And a lot of that freight, especially in the Gulf Coast, in the Houston market, is infrastructure-related freight, project freight, energy, oil and gas, et cetera. So there are some natural industries that'll stay, but you will see a migration as we get into next year back to the West Coast. And one thing that we're going to be keeping a very, very close eye on is if the West Coast can handle those new volumes and increases for, you know, what's probably going to be the first time in a couple of years.
And Paul, when we're looking at this transition happening, can you talk to whether this is maybe some advantageous timing? We're looking at the time of the year. It's not really a huge retail pull right now because we're already in the retail swing. And usually there's a little bit of a lull going into the beginning of a new year. Is this advantageous timing? And is this something that we can expect to really go into the middle of 24?
Yeah, from the data that we're seeing right now, there's probably going to be a strong potential for a Lunar New Year peak, right? So right before Lunar New Year, you'll see shippers restock inventory. A lot of what we're seeing for inventory of a lot of the shippers and retailers is that they've eaten through the last 18 months of inventory that they've had. And now they're going to restock. And that's usually done before the Lunar New Year shutdowns for Trans-Pacific freight. For the first time, we're thinking in a couple of years, we're going to have like a real Lunar New Year peak at the beginning of this year. And that should lift rates going into contract season, and we'll see just how much inventory is brought back in. So keep a mindful eye for January, February of this year. Make sure, you know, if you're a shipper or a BCO, that you've got your trucking capacity in line to execute, because it might get pretty tight from the data that we're seeing, not just up and down the West Coast, but along the Gulf and the Southeast and the East as well.
So, Paul, let's put this in perspective from an intermodal side of things, because as we continue to see kind of intermodal volumes kind of fall off and then hold a little bit steady, we know that a lot of the railroads have really started to beef up some of their efforts, whether that's service offerings, whether that's extra lines, whether that's now cross-border freight all the way from Canada to Mexico. And a lot of these intermodal companies, these rail companies, are really working hard to make sure that they have really great service options available for some of their shippers. Are we going to be seeing intermodal be a really viable option, especially if we see more freight return to the West Coast? And does that maybe poise the intermodal space as like a really good, I guess, just candidate for some growth going into 2024?
Oh, yeah, for sure, Kaylee. And we're already kind of seeing this for Trans-Pacific freight. Now that, you know, inventories are where they need to be and everything's not just in time need at the DCs and whatnot, a lot of that Trans-Pacific freight is IPI and over via rail to Memphis and Chicago and Dallas, and you're seeing more activity at the rail ramps. I mean, as a matter of fact, most of the RFPs that we're seeing, if you compare that to 1-2 years ago, the amount of rail activity and rail spurs being quoted in these RFPs for ocean container drayage is phenomenally higher than we've seen in a while. Plus, the service is good because there's not as much demand. There's effective rates, and you're seeing other ramps open up that were closed because there wasn't as much volume on it. We're seeing Indy open that was closed for a while. And one other thing to call out, too, is on the Mexico side that you alluded to, as you do see a lot more rail options spring up and a lot more volumes, especially coming out of Mexico into the U.S. because, you know, Mexico is our number one trading partner now, taking over China. We're seeing some ocean carriers get pretty creative as well by staying away from trucking and rail, loading in Mexico, especially on the Gulf side, and going up into Mobile and New Orleans and Houston, interlining that rail and getting that further up into the Northeast and the upper Midwest.
Definitely a creative solution here, Paul. And when we're looking at the trend so far shaping up this year going into the next, what can you say about some of the seasonality trends that we would see typically on certain times? Because I know throughout the pandemic, seasonality and timings were just kind of thrown out the window. But are you starting to see that there's going to be more firming up of typical trends that we would see at certain times of the year?
Yeah. It's how 24 is starting to look on our end. You're going to have your Lunar New Year peak. It's going to drift off as you get into the summer. You'll get contracts and RFPs executed March, April, May. And then you'll start seeing that natural buildup. We should have a regular peak in Q3, early Q4. And then we'll kind of see how 24 ends. That there are some kind of canaries in the mine right now that are showing us that we could see a pretty decent lift in volumes going into Q3 of this year. And we hopefully will be able to ride that out. If the consumer comes back, of course, interest rates seem to be stabilizing. So does that mean that housing starts are going to increase and we'll start seeing some more activity there? So probably at the back half of this year, maybe we're seeing the same cycle trend, but an elevated curve on that with some additional volumes that we haven't seen in about 18 months.
Definitely going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Paul, thanks so much for joining us this morning. For people that want to reach out to you, learn more about ITS, how can they do that?
Go to the website, ITS4logistics.com. Our marketing team just launched a brand new site. It's pretty slick. Look us up on LinkedIn, and our new index for the ports and intermodal traffic just got released this week. Check that out. It covers a lot of what we discussed here today.
Awesome, Paul. Looking forward to it and looking forward to chatting with you again in the new year.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas. Take care.
Right now, we're going to toss things over to Kaylee Nix with our next look at today's weather.